What's up, guys? This is The Organic Guy, and welcome to Organic View. As I promised last time, of course, this is a weekly segment that I created just for you to make sure that you are up to date on the latest development in the organic sector and trying to see what's happening in the contemporary world and giving it an organic perspective into it so that you can be able to understand really and connect how it's impacting the organic sector as well. So today I want us to dive a little bit into the topic of Brexit. Well, yeah, most of you do know that the people of the United Kingdom voted way back in 2016 to leave the European Union. And as a result, we did see a lot of ground standing, really, especially in the Parliament of the United Kingdom, because no party was able to get a clean majority to be able to have a clean Brexit deal. But this did change, in fact, in 2019 when the Conservative Party had the majority and the swell moved forward to get the deal, the Brexit deal, really done. And as a matter of fact, we did see the United Kingdom leave the European Union on the 31st of January this year. That's on 2020. And since then, the European Union and the United Kingdom have been on a transition phase, really, of trying to come up with better solutions and trying to come up with agreements between these two parties, on especially on the matters of trade and what they can be able to do to each other, and what kind of policies and what kind of agreements they can be able to touch with each other to make sure that each of these two parties have access to their markets now, since they have officially left. And this transition period is scheduled to end, of course, on the 31st of December 2020, meaning starting the 1st of January in 2021, the people of Britain will not be able to have the so-called four freedoms that the European Union has, of course, that being the freedom of movement of goods, of capital, movement of labor, for example, and movement of services. So this movement won't be, you know, as direct as they used to be. Now you have to be treated as a third party, like now a resident of Australia, for example, have to undergo through to enter the United Kingdom, like something I had to go through to get into the European Union as well. So that is the layer of our paperwork that any citizen who wants to enter the European Union has to go through as well. So as that impacted a lot of people, the organic sector was not an exception as well, of course. And as you can see here, Ecosat sort of tried to explain what impact Brexit will have, especially in the organic sector. And as we all know, the organic sector in the European Union does have a common regulation. And if you have bought an organic product, you do know that the European Union does use the green leaf mark as a an official mark that represents the product that you're buying is organic. And that means the United Kingdom also used, since it was in the European Union, used that mark to identify their products which are organic and which are not organic. So as a result of the United Kingdom leaving the European Union, this means that they sort of have to come with their own standards. They have to use sort of a different kind of logo, for example, to be able to identify with their products. And we all do know that the European Union has the second largest market, just behind the United States. And it's no exception, really, in terms of the organic sector as well. As you can see, Europe has, in the organic space, has a total market of 40 billion euros. Okay, that is a huge market, and that means, of course, the United Kingdom was part of this particular market, and since it has left, so this means most organic businesses and most organic farmers in the United Kingdom will not have a direct access into this particular market. They will have an access to this market, it's just that they won't be able to have a direct access to this market, as I stated earlier, in terms of having the free movement of goods and services and capital and labor. But most of the products now have to go through an extra tariff or an extra taxes, depending on the agreements that they'll be able to reach in their trade agreements. So as you can see here, the United States does have the largest share of the market. But the European Union, of course, is slightly behind with 40 billion euros of market. In the European Union, as you can see, Germany, France are the biggest markets, with Germany leading over 10 billion euros as well. And in terms of spending, really, per capita, Switzerland seems to be doing very, very well, over 300 euros per person spending on organic products. Wow. That is a great determination that the people of Switzerland do have as well. So as a result of leaving the United Kingdom, leaving the European Union, the local market has also been doing well. As you can see here, the local market of United Kingdom grew at 4.5%. This is according to the Soil Association, that in 2019, which racked in a total of 2.45 billion pounds. Okay, that's an equivalent of 200 million pounds being spent per month on organic products. I mean, that is, of course, good news, and no surprise there, since the organic sector really did pick up during the pandemic as well. So you can see here, surprise, surprise, organic poultry was doing very, very well, especially the eggs growing at 12%, as well as organic wine, really, really doing very well in 2019, having an increase of up to 50%, ladies and gentlemen, 50% growth there. So as you can see, the local market of the United Kingdom is also doing pretty well in terms of organic produce. You can see when you're comparing the two markets at 2.5 billion to Europe's 40 billion. As you can see, the local organic farmers of the United Kingdom will have sort of a limited market. They won't be able to have a direct market that they used to have as well. So this sort of led to a lot of farmers having concerns, as well as they have seen their sort of government not really, really reaching any agreements between the two parties, between both the United Kingdom government not having to reach into an agreement, as well as the people from the European Union not having to reach into an agreement as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this thing shouldn't be as hard as it seems, right? These people have been trading together for over 20 years using the organic logo, right? This shouldn't be that hard, because a farmer in France, for example, is being certified using the same methods. Well, not exactly the same, but they have the same equivalency, all right, as the same farmers who are in the United Kingdom as well. So it shouldn't be really, really hard to come into an agreement in terms of trying to find an equivalency, at least agreeing on an equivalency in the fact that the rules that are being agreed of farmers who are in the European Union, farmers who are in the United Kingdom, their products should be able to be equivalent to each other because they're using similar methods of certifying, right? To me, that shouldn't be such a hard deal to come into agreement. And as you can see here, a lot of farmers are also voicing their opinion into this matter as well. Act now to prevent the Brexit organic calamity. So this was an article that was written in our Footnet. And for me, this shouldn't be this really, really this hard. So let's see what an impact of not having an equivalency between these two parties could actually bring, right? So if an equivalency is not secured, one impact is that the organic producers will be forced to move the word organic from their packaging on products they are exporting into the European market. So that means farmers will not be able to have a premium on their products that they were able to command while their products were in organic. So this means that organic farmers and organic growers could be left with stockpiles of organic milk. This is not what we want to see, right? Vegetables and meats that they are unable to sell into the EU as organic, which will be a catastrophe, that's for sure. So that's something that we don't want, right? These two parties should be able to at least agree on some form of equivalency so that they can be able to recognize the products of these two parties as being equivalent, as both of them being organic, and as a result, they can be sold in these two markets without much of a struggle. Seems these complaints didn't lie on good ears. As of December 4th, on Friday, the EU and the UK did indeed agree on some form of equivalency between these two nations in terms of organic, and this means that the UK's organic certifiers will continue to certify their organic farmers and organic producers and organic processors for at least for the next 12 months after the transition period ends on the 31st of December. So at least this means there's a grace period for organic farmers both in the EU and the United Kingdom to sort of, you know, come together and have some form of prepare themselves on at least before this 1 year period expires. So at least they did agree for the next 12 months they will have some form of equivalency between farmers of these two regions. So this means that there will be continuous access for organic farmers to the EU market, as well as for EU farmers into the UK market. And as you can see, the UK market is world's 9th organic market and sells organic produce into the EU, and organic farmers from the EU sold products worth over £200 million to the European Union in 2019. So what exactly do you need to know? Here's some of the things that you need to know as an organic farmer, as an organic producer who is in the United Kingdom. So I'm reading this actually directly from the website of the government of the United Kingdom. So in terms of certificates and label, if you are if you produce or if you process or if you import organic food for trade within the United Kingdom, you still need to be certified by an approved UK organic control body. So I'm assuming if you're using, let's say, a control body of Soil Association, so you still will need to be certified with such certifier for your products to be sold within the United Kingdom. Well, that to me seems very straightforward. And also, you must include details of your organic control body on the level of the products of your produce, process, or sell, or the kind of products you're trying to import. Well, that's of course for transparency reasons, that people can be able to see who is your certifier. And if they're sort of worried about the kind of products they're saving and they're not sure, they can be able to contact the supplier. So how about organic logos? Okay, so as we said earlier, the EU has recognized the UK control bodies. So as a result, you can continue to use the EU organic logo on Great Britain organic food and feed until the 31st of December in 2021. So in the local market, of the United Kingdom, the EU organic logo will be optional, so you don't have to use it. If used, of course, you must ensure that you are able to meet the EU organic labeling requirements and statement of agricultural origin. So if your products, of course, are from the UK, you should be able to say that the products that you used on your organic are from the United Kingdom. And if it's from the EU, should be able to state it's from the EU. And if it's not from the EU, you should be able to state it's from the non-EU agriculture. So how about importing organic food from the EU, Norway, Ireland, that is Iceland, Liechtenstein, Swaziland, into the Great Britain? So as a temporary measure, organic products imported into Great Britain from the EU, Norway, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Swaziland will not require certificate of inspection up until the 30th of June 2021. So there's a 6 month, you know, waiver period in which you do not have to show your certificate of inspection, but after 6 months you will be required as an exporter and an importer of organic products to show this certificate as well. So from the 1st of July 2021, organic products imported into Great Britain from the EU, Norway, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Swaziland will require a certificate of inspection. So in this one, you'll be able to use Great Britain's interim manual to be able to certify your certificate of inspection. How about importing organic products from non-EU countries? So for example, people of Australia, for example, people of the USA, people of Brazil. So all organic goods imported from the non-EU countries must continue to have a valid, of course, certificate of inspection. You will no longer use the EU trade control expert system. So this is a trace system. If you are an importer and exporter of products, you were importing products into the European Union, you must be able to use this system to be able to trace, to be able to track and trace your produce, just in case there is a suspicion of a fraud or something like that, can be able to be traced easily. So since Great Britain is no longer part of the European Union, they will not be able to use this system. That means the Great Britain has to create their own system to use in order to verify the products that come in from other countries as well. So how about exporting organic products from Great Britain to EU? As we said earlier, as the EU has recognized the United Kingdom control bodies, you can export Great Britain organic food and feed to the EU until the 31st of December 2021. But from the 1st January 2021, all organic goods exported to the EU must have a valid certificate of inspection using the EU trade trenses system. So you must be able to have a certificate of inspection. So that is not a very, very hard requirement for sure. So exporting organic food from the UK to non-EU countries. So this also depends on the countries as well, on the agreements that they already have. If they already have an equivalency arrangement between the two countries whereby they are able to recognize each other's countries as an equivalency of organic products. So for example, the USDA's organic label, they do recognize it as an equivalency between these two nations. So that shouldn't be a huge hurdle for most people as well. So some non-EU countries may require an export certificate for each consignment. You should check this with the countries that you're, of course, exporting to as well. And just to make sure of some of the reciprocal or some of the equivalency countries that you can be able to export to as a person from the United Kingdom. So, of course, we have Australia, Canada, Chile, Israel, Tunisia, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea, Swaziland, Taiwan, and the USA. These are countries with equivalency. These are countries that you can be able to export to as an organic farmer and an organic processor in Great Britain. And all you have to show is basically a certificate of inspection, and you're good to go. So your products can be able to be traded in these particular markets. And in terms of so for people who haven't seen, for example, an organic logo for the EU organic logo, so it's basically a leaf. It's a green leaf, really, with some of the stars of the European Union. And for the Great Britain market, probably very, very familiar with the Soil Association organic logo. So if you are trading locally in the Great Britain market, I mean, the Soil Association logo should be enough. But if you have, if it depends if the local market really is aware with the European logo as well, so then you might be interested to add it as well. But if you're exporting to the European market, then the European organic logo will be perfect for you to be able to use it, because it's easily recognizable within people of the European Union. So let's just recap on what exactly you need to know as an organic farmer, as an organic processor. Here are the basics. So if you produce, process, label, or trade inorganic products and feed in the Great Britain, so that includes England, Scotland as well, you will have to follow Great Britain's rules from the 1st of January in 2021. And then number two, Great Britain will recognize the EU, Norway, Iceland, Liechtenstein, and Swaziland as equivalent for the purpose of trade in organics until December 2021. So that means you have a period of at least 1 year to you know, bring yourself into knowing exactly what's required in terms of the bringing you up to date in terms of what's required to trade your products into the EU as well as into these countries as well. So food and feed, number three, that is food and feed certified as organic in the EU, Norway, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Swaziland will continue to be accepted as organic in Great Britain until the 31st of December as well. So that is a whole year for you to get acquainted to the new way of trading. So this is what other countries or outside the EU have to undergo, have to go through. So you have to have that sort of extra paperwork. But for this transition, for this, at least for the period of 1 year, you don't have to do all that. You just have to show your certificate of inspection. The EU has recognized the UK control bodies for the purpose of exporting organic products to the EU until the 31st December of 2021. Food and feed certified as origin, as organic in Great Britain, will continue to be accepted as organic in the EU until the 31st of December in 2021. So in short, organic farmers and processors have a period of 1 year for them to continue to trade as normally as they could, which for me makes total sense, and which for anyone really should make absolute total sense. These guys have been trading for 20 years using the same logo, so that shouldn't be a shock. That shouldn't be a very hard decision for these two parties to have made as well. So I'm great to see that both organic farmers in the EU and in the UK will continue to share that principles of organic farming as well, though on a different limelight, on a different rules, but the principles that connect these two farmers will continue to do so for years and years to come. So ladies and gentlemen, the best thing that you can be able to do, you can see some of the things that our farmers, especially organic farmers, go through in order to bring those particular products into your table. There are a lot of regulations that they have to go through in order to bring those particular products into the supermarket. So if you pass by the supermarket and you see an organic product in the shelf, how about just picking it up, right? And this just goes back to economics 101. Every time you buy an organic product, that means you are encouraging an organic farmer to produce more. Okay, every time you pick an organic product from a supermarket shelf, that sent a signal to the farmer that yes, people need your products. So that means you need to produce more. That means people want this kind of products on the shelf more. So buying a product is just more than for yourself. It's just you're also sending a signal to farmers that the products that they're producing are actually needed by consumers, which is me and you. So next time you're in the supermarket, pick out that organic milk that you see on the shelf, or the organic bread that you see on the shelf, the organic tomatoes or the organic fresh products that you see on the shelf. That is, you are sending a signal to the farmers as well that yes, we need your products on our tables as well, just to continue to motivate them and to continue producing these products. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope this particular conversation gave you a lot of value. Next week I have a very, very cool product, cool topic to talk about, so make sure you don't miss it as well. Till then, ladies and gentlemen, remember to be organic and share this particular podcast to someone that you think might be able to like it, so that we can be able to continue to grow organically.